Welcome everyone to episode 68 of Kowalski Analysis. I apologize for the delay. We're having some technical difficulties there, but it looks like we are cooking now. So how's everybody doing out there in Facebook and YouTube land? And if you're listening on a podcast, wherever podcasts are found, how's everybody doing there as well? How are you doing, Mary Beth?
Hi, how are you? Good.
It's like we got everything figured out.
Technology.
Yeah. So I'm excited to have this conversation tonight with the two of you. To kind of let everyone in on what we've been working on. How's your day going? Do you have a good day?
Every day's a good day.
Good. That's a good outlook.
Yeah. Every day God wakes me up. He's not done with me yet.
I woke up this morning and I was like feeling a little like, oh gosh, here we go, Monday. And then I was thinking about that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I was thinking about it. And literally in one of my devotionals, it was that. I was like, that had to be God, right? Because like, what a random thought, right?
Right.
So I don't know. It was interesting. The other thing that happened to me not long ago, what I thought was pretty cool, was in my Facebook memories from like 5 years ago, was Jeremiah 29:11 or whatever, which says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, and whatever, to give you the future that you hope for. It was in my memories. And in my devotionals that day, and this was that verse, but I didn't get this devotional until like years after that. And I was like, that's wild. Like to me, it was like God winking at me to say, look, I got you. I know the plans, you know, I'm going to bless you. Just keep going.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, hey, if anybody's out there, or hopefully somebody's out there, whoever's out there, wherever you're watching, tuning in from, drop a comment. Let us know that you can see and hear us okay. Say hello. If it's your first time watching or listening to a podcast episode, go ahead and let us know where you're tuning in from. We always like to know where all the new people are coming in. So we're just waiting on Nicole to come in. But while we do that, I'm going to go ahead and announce my sponsors. But before I do that, let's tell people who you are. So Mary Beth, this is the first time you're joining me on the podcast. So tell everyone a little bit about how you learned about City Fam and how you got involved with the Go Method, which we're about to talk about.
Well, I learned about City Fam a few years ago. I was a chance meeting. I was out listening to live music. I was on a date, but there was this group having a ball. And I was like, who are they and what are they doing? So I got to meet you guys and it was such a great meeting. And Nicole and Rob invited me to an event. It was a great event. And that night they asked me to go to church at Epic Baltimore. And I was like, sure, let's go check it out. I was new to the area, hadn't found a church. And it has been amazing since. And then the Go Method was introduced at my church. And I have been wanting to get involved ever since because the Go Method is amazing. And it's a natural draw because my mission is to grow the kingdom. And that is exactly what Go is doing.
Love it. Welcome, Nicole.
Hi.
How are you doing down there in Texas?
Good, actually. Great.
Good.
You won't believe what is happening here in Texas, actually.
Fill us in. What's going on?
So, I mean, crazy. So, you know, my sons are like hunters, fishers, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, last night they got home and they were like, come check out what's in the truck. The back of the truck, two baby pigs, like wild hogs they caught alive? In the woods.
Alive?
Alive. And they're so there's these little baby pigs, right? And so I'm trying to figure out like, what do you do? Because they're so cute, you guys. They're so cute. I mean, they're ugly too. Like they're super furry and just, I don't know, gross. So I put them in the bathtub like every normal person would do, right? Get them all cleaned up and took them out in the backyard and they follow me around. They're so cute.
Yeah, they're going to get big and freaking attack you. Like those pigs are like deadly, aren't they?
I mean, they do have like those tusks, but these are baby ones.
Yeah, well, for a little while.
I know. That's what we're getting in Texas right now.
They're delicious too when they're little like that. I hear it. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Actually, I've tasted that and it's true.
I bet. So I just want to give a shout out to some of the people that are tuning in on Facebook. Looks like Carolyn Boker's here. Tony Gerasio, Misty Carrick. Tony. Let's see. Christy Knutson Mariquin. She just actually started her Reading group in California. Very excited for her. Heather Abramo Wargo. I'm sorry if I butchered that. She's from Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. Dale Howard. Sarah Medina. Mae Carter. Mae Carter actually started the Roanoke group recently. So we got a couple chapter leads. Nicole was our pioneer. She started our first non-Baltimore chapter. Well, actually, I guess Amanda Phillips kind of had, she had Hartford, Cecil County back in the day. But after that, you know, Houston, the first out-of-state chapter, let's say. So tell everybody who you are and how you got introduced to City Fam and what attracted you to it, I guess.
Oh, okay. So City Fam, let's see. I had been going through a life transition and I felt like God was just extremely clear. There was no question about what he wanted me to do. And his message to me was park it, like sit, don't move, don't do anything. Don't move, don't change jobs, don't change churches, just park it. And so I did that. I committed to do that with God for a year, not really knowing what was ahead and what was around the corner. But during that year, I actually had finished up my master's in family ministry, even though my family was falling apart at the time. So it was like this strange juxtaposition of like figuring out what God says about family and then also watching mine dissolve. And so just did exactly what God said blindly. And during that time, I watched your 10 reasons not to have sex before you get married video. And at the end of it, you said, hey, we've got this group. Don't do this alone. It's super hard. Come and join us. And so somehow you and I connected over that. And I wanted it in Houston. And so you said, hey, go ahead and start one. And I said, yeah, but God said, don't do anything for a year. And you said, great, I'll call you back in a year. And you did. And sure enough, that was the beginning of City Fam Houston. So
pretty cool. How many years ago was that?
That was in 2018. It was the end of 2017 and the beginning of 2018.
Wow. So that was, 4 years ago. Jeez.
Crazy. Yes.
Feels like long.
Feels like longer. Is that what you said?
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's cool. We were just talking a little bit about Mary Beth and how she got introduced to City Fam and, obviously the Go Method. And why don't you tell your version of that story?
How Mary Beth and I met?
Yeah. How she got introduced to all this.
Okay, that's fun. I didn't get to hear what Mary Beth said, but I'm sure it's equally as colorful. So that night, we actually went out to this restaurant. We were going just as a group of City Fam people connecting. It wasn't even an official event. It was just, hey, listen, let's all go grab dinner and, hang out, listen to some live music. I want to say Kim Spriggs had put it together, just gathered some people. And we look like a real different kind of motley crew. Like none of us really matched. We all just sort of like look like we were pulled together from different groups and we're sitting at this table.
Did you ever see the part of Star Wars when he walks into the bar and you see all the different creatures?
Yeah.
Kind of like that. Yeah.
It was like that night because it was like, I just remember we were like this very eclectic group. Here we had like Terry Gallagher, the doctor, and then we have like, you and I, we've got Willis, you've got Rich Guy, we've got Kim Spriggs, just this group of us who like all look very different, but we were all just there to enjoy the night and listen to live music. And honestly, that's exactly what we were doing. We were like listening to music, dancing, just really enjoying each other and catching up. And it was cold outside, so it was really nice and warm inside. And I saw Mary Beth at one point, and she was on a date. She was with a guy, and yet she kept coming over to kind of dance with us and hang out, play. And I could just tell, like, she was having way more fun with us. And so I just boldly asked her, like, hey, what are you doing with that guy? Like, why are you even in that? And so it just sparked this conversation between the two of us. Before you knew it, that night we were taking selfies together, and that, I guess, led to us exchanging numbers, because she was like, I want that picture, and I said, here you go, what's your number? And so we exchanged numbers, and then the next night, you were doing the Drew Hill concert, and we were all going to go to the casino in Baltimore, and so I said, hey, come to the concert tomorrow night, and she said, okay. And so the next night she comes to the concert, and then we found ourselves, just the two of us, for a while, maybe a good 30 minutes at the bar, just talked about life and love. And again, I asked, why are you with that guy? And so I got the real story the next night at that concert, and invited her to church the next day. And so the next morning we went to Epic, and there you have it.
What has that meant for you, Mary Beth, finding Epic?
Finding City Fam and Epic was a pivotal point in my life that I walked away from a lot of really bad decisions and just doing things out of not knowing where else to go with it. And I mean, the influence of you guys, Epic, and everybody I've come in contact with ever since, my life is so much better. I'm at peace. I'm content. I've had a complete heart transformation. You know, you can always be a Christian, but to become an obedient Christian and actually follow the word of God and have a relationship with Jesus and really know what it means to be a Christian instead of going to church every Sunday and saying, hey, I tithe and I went to church. Yay me. You actually carry a different heart posture. Mm-hmm. And meeting you all that night, that fateful night, it was November 30th. of 2019. I remember it. It was amazing. Best move ever. Thank you.
Hey, you've been such a big blessing to us too. I mean, gosh, I can think about, so many times sending us money when we were in the UK, giving Nicole a place to stay when she came into town. I mean, so it's been a mutually beneficial relationship, but I just think about how all that happened, and just it's just was such a much easier invite, imagine if we didn't have the Drew Hill concert or just something after that. Cause then it's like, yeah, we just met. You want to come to church with me? I don't know. Really? I don't really know you like that. But then you had more time around the person. It was something that you actually wanted to come to. And then you came to it. You got more time, got to talk a little bit more. And then by then the relationship was strong enough that you could make that invite. And it's like, that is just, the epitome of what we're trying to do, where it's like, meet people where they're at, build a relationship, a bridge with them, and then bring them back, So I love it. It's amazing. But before we really
get into it. I want to add to what you were saying. Yeah. I want to jump in and add to what you're saying, because you touched on the fact that she has been like such a blessing in the reverse. And I feel like that needs to be highlighted, because what a lot of times people keep themselves from reaching out because they feel like it's taxing or it's hard, or they might have to have long and difficult conversations, but what they don't realize is that the reward really is for themselves as well. Like, it when God is at work, it is win-wins. And what I have found is the relationship that Mary Beth has had in my life, the influence that she's had, the push that she's had, even the way that she's even corrected at some points, has been so big for me. She has sat me down on nights whenever I've stayed at her home, in her house, and said, hey, just breathe, or slow down, or think about that a little different. Like, those are so valuable, on top of, hey, come stay in my home, like, this is a God-sized relationship. And who knew? Unless we step out and we let God do these things in our lives, we miss it.
Yeah. Well, that's what, honestly, you had your radar up. You were kind of, weren't closed off. And then you saw somebody and you initiated a conversation with them. But I talked to Nicole about this about you, Mary Beth. I don't know if I told you this, but I was like, here, you're somebody that came to this town. You didn't, you moved here for work. You didn't know anybody. So you're dating this person, you're probably lonely. So maybe you're dating them out of loneliness or whatever. Maybe you're bored, maybe not everything that you want, but you're like, I'm not going to stay in every night. But then she walked, met you out, brought you back to Epic, a community of people. And then now she went back to Texas, but by then you got a family now. And now your whole life changes because of this healthy community that you're plugged in with. And it's like, that is what the church is missing, and overall, not every church. Some churches maybe do it well, but overall, a lot of churches don't do it well. Hey, Rob Kowalski here. When I first got serious about living intentionally and becoming a better version of myself, I found a major shortage of things to do and people to do them with. And it was the loneliness and boredom that led me to starting CityFam. So I just want to take a moment right now and encourage you to go over and join the CityFam Facebook community. It's a free Facebook group, and in it you'll find purpose-driven people from all over the world that want to enjoy life to the fullest. You can search it on Facebook, or you can go to www.friendswithbetterbenefits.com and it'll take you right there. While I'm mentioning it, if you're single, searching for real love, love before sex, as I like to say, I want to encourage you to join the Waiting Works community. That's another free Facebook group I put together designed to help people wait well, date well, and ultimately hit the mark in life and love. And you can go to www.reallovewaits.com and I'll see you over there. Now back to the episode. I want to get into the conversation really quickly. Before I do, I just want to announce my sponsors. And I want to encourage anybody out there watching, this is just going to be a very organic conversation between three friends, but it's important what we're talking about. So I know there's a lot of Christians that listen to this and watch this and follow it. So share it. You know, maybe your pastor or maybe another Christian friend that has a pastor that's really eager to grow their church will see this and contact us, because our goal is to empower churches around the world to grow their congregations by reaching lost people in a very organic way that works really, really well. And it's fun. So share, feel free to share this right now. Quickly, I want to share my screen. I'm just going to mention first Micah Hughes. He's a longtime sponsor and friend of mine. And Micah helps people achieve financial peace through real estate investing. So whether you want to buy, sell, or invest, Micah will come alongside you and walk with you through the entire process. You can let him know I sent you, and you can call him at 443-532-8450, or you can email him at MicahHughes@MundahlConsulting.com. And then next, I want to introduce my newest sponsor to you, and that is Matt Krem with Advisors Mortgage. And they have a highly competitive pricing structure coupled with their state-of-the-art technology. They're second to none in their commitment to guiding you through the home buying or refinancing process. Advisors Mortgage offers all financing types as well as a close on time guarantee. You can call Adrian White directly. He's a local CityFam member at 610-999-3448, or visit his website at awhite.advisorsmortgage.com. All right, now let's get into the conversation. So first off, I guess let's just tell everybody, what is the GO method? Mary Beth, what would you say?
GO method is a really awesome strategy for growing congregations and growing the kingdom, which is the best thing ever.
Most important thing we could do. Would you describe it, Nicole?
How would I describe the GO method? I would actually say that it is a step-by-step, easy to follow, thrilling way to live out your Christian life.
Love that. It really is. I mean, so how many times have you heard your pastor get up on the pulpit and tell you, you know, it's your responsibility to, you know, lead your friends to Jesus, and you know, he can't know your neighbor and all that, but they don't really ever give you the system, right? They're just like kind of motivate you to do it, but they don't tell you, okay, exactly how do I do that? I remember when I, you know, was on fire for God after I became a Christian, and I'm like sitting in a bar trying to do the bridge illustration on a napkin with, and it's so freaking awkward. Like nothing came of it. And you know, of course I didn't do a good job of explaining how it all worked. And that's really what I love about the GO method, is it's like, it's so organic, you know, it's like, it just kind of happens. I don't want to say it's effortless, because, you know, even like with Mary Beth, you had to put some effort in, like you were interested and, you know, invited her, included her, but at some point it wasn't like, it's not like giving somebody a track or, you know, like trying to say, hey, do you know,
well, where no, it's genuine.
Say that again.
It was genuine interest. Like, It's actually in a moment when you have genuine interest in whoever it is that you see across the room. But when you say like it's to be intentional, the intentionality is just walking in the door and going, hey, God, use my life. Here we go.
Right.
Whatever it looks like, because you never know with him.
What are some of the strategies of the GO method?
strategies as far as specifics, because I don't know if I want to jump into specifics. I mean, we can if you want to, but I mean, I would say if we were to give like broad strategies for what this looks like, it is befriending people, it is serving, and it's being intentional about the ask. So, I mean, those are like the generic way to word.
Yeah, I would even say for the broad strokes, it's like get into a community, get yourself in a community of people that are doing life together, a small group, you know, and then don't just do small group, do life together, try to do what Acts did, you know, like where you're, you know, together a lot, you know, multiple days a week, maybe socializing together, volunteering together, going to church together, you know, whatever. And then when you meet people, pull them into those environments instead of inviting them to church, because it doesn't work really for the most part.
And we're talking about day to day, like go have tacos, go to the movies, bring people into moments like that, you know?
Yeah. And it's fun.
Yeah.
Versus trying to, you know, say, hey, do you want to come to church with me on Sunday? Not to say there's not a time for that. There is, but it's really like doing life together. Mm-hmm. So, okay, Mary Beth. Well, yeah, let's ask Mary Beth. How does the GO method get people in the game of fulfilling the Great Commission and bringing others to Jesus?
How do they get them in the game?
Yeah, go ahead. I think people want to, they, for the most part, if you're a believer, like if you really believe in Jesus, you want to tell other people about it, or maybe you want them to become Christians. Maybe you just don't know how. How does the GO method get them in the game?
To me, the GO method gets them in the game by, one, engaging them with like-minded people and with a community that you can, as, you know, as me, like the community was, I was a Christian, but to have Nicole engage with me and, you know, take me to church and be, I get to your point, be my friend and, you know, talk to me and be interested. And I felt a connection with her. And so, you know, you go to a social event and you're communicating with the people and, you know, you're making that connection. And then when you do invite them to church, it's, everybody has their own way of doing it. But once you get into the church and you grow your community, then people are naturally going to build their relationship with Jesus, which is the goal. And then they will start telling other people about the peace and contentment they found in their life and just the utter happiness that comes from that relationship and being optimistic and knowing that you have that in your heart and you have them walking day to day with you in your life. And there's really not, you worry about things, but you don't worry about it anymore because it's in his hands. And when people find that happiness, they want to tell others.
I think what the GO method does too is it kind of flips the whole model upside down. Cause so like years ago when Billy Graham came to Baltimore, I volunteered, I was like, I'll be an usher or whatever. And they, you know, you have you on, I think write down five people's names that you're going to pray for and you're going to invite and all that. So I did all that. And a lot of people got saved. You know, he does his altar call and there was tens of thousands of people probably went up. And I remember thinking, even that I was, you know, very immature Christian at the time, but I remember thinking to myself, what happens to them tomorrow? You know, because they're going to go forward. What's going to happen to them tomorrow? What happens with the GO method is by the time anybody ever makes a decision to follow Jesus, they've already got their whole friend group set up, their social calendars full. They're set for Christian life. They're good. We just don't do it first. We do it after. And it's such a better strategy, I believe, because it ensures that they can actually grow and get some roots down versus just making an emotional decision and then being like, tomorrow comes and you got nothing to do and no one to do it with because you're trying to make positive changes. That's what happened to me was I met the Lord and I was like, I didn't even know Christians. So like, that's where I think the GO method is really different, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're talking about it from the lens of like that person who maybe has never been involved in a church before, or like church is brand new to them, or maybe they've been out for a little while. What about from the perspective of all of those believers who are sitting in church and they're showing up and they're sitting there listening to their pastor or even volunteering or even giving and doing all of these things that they know are right, but to their core, at some point they're going, hold on. there's got to be more to this. And I love what you're saying, like the way you worded the question was, what gets you in the game? Because if you think about it, just like, think about it like an amateur basketball game, you know, right? You've got all these people and they're all out playing. And then you just imagine the church sitting on the bench, right? And like some of them get up and play and they play the whole game and they're killer athletes. But then you have these other ones who feel a lot of times like they just don't have the qualifications, or they're just not good enough, or they don't know enough. They don't have the skills to get in the game. Yet that is not at all what God says. We've all been given what we need and we just have to get out there and be ourselves. And so I think this is like, it's again, like we talked about a win-win. This is a win for even the Christians who are looking for something because their life as a believer is just monotonous and they're questioning where that thrill is. So that this is a way to do it. Yeah. Every single person can get off that bench.
Yeah. So good. I was just wanted to explain to people too, why we developed the Go method for anybody out there that, because I think some people are probably like, well, hold on. What is this thing? Is a City Fam? I mean, so no, listen, City Fam is not faith-based. However, because of the way City Fam set up, where we're doing social events and service events, and it happens to be an organization that is attractive to Christians, a lot of people end up meeting Jesus through City Fam. Okay. Right. Now they would end up a lot of times they would end up coming to Epic, to a church, or getting and plugged into a faith community. And then they would not come to City Fam events anymore because they were out of it. They're like, okay, good. Now I found my group. I'm good now. I don't need the bars or whatever, you know, and they would find their community and then they would stop coming around. And I'm like, hold on a second. Wait, there's a whole world of people out there that we still got to go get. We need you to come back down the ladder. Come, you know, leave, you know, you're at the top now. You are the best version of yourself, but now we need you to come back down the social event and meet that person that's just coming into this whole thing and walk them up the ladder. So the Go method is designed to fix that problem. It's designed to get the church out of their holy huddle and into the places where the people right. are, fish where the fish are, okay, at the social events, at the service events. So we designed a really cool model to keep it front and center for people like Christians. And like, we're going to celebrate the wins and we give you the systems and we create the fishing holes, the social events and the service events for you to come at with your group. And so it's a really well thought out program designed to fix a pretty big problem.
Right. And I would say that it really is just a very relaxed way to go out into the communities you're already in.
Right.
Like, you don't have to try to, like you said, go fish. Like, you don't have to try to do that. Like, literally right. just walk into your own workplace or your own sports teams or your own interests and hobbies. Like, just be yourself and invite people to come along and be with you. Just relax and play.
I think the difference is safety in numbers, because there's a lot of people, like, especially a lot of like single Christians, and they are out in the world, they're in the bars on the weekends, but they're getting caught up with the culture of their surroundings. The difference with what we do is we're like, don't go alone, you know, make it missional, go together and make sure you know, do your best to remember why you're there, so you don't just, you know, you're not just there to turn up, although sometimes that happens to me, but try to remember why you're there and keep the mission front and center. So yeah, I think that's really what makes a difference. And instead of the culture affecting you, a lot of times when we go into places, we affect the culture where we act as a thermostat, where people, you know, notice we might change the way people are acting a little bit, make them, they might act a little bit better because we're there versus us acting worse.
Yeah, so. Which is not easy if you're doing that alone. But when you are doing that with an army of people with you, then it is easier. It's even easier for me. It's easier for all of us if we know that people are going to be there and pay attention, you know?
Yeah. So we got some new people on. Stephanie Winkler Jacobson said, I love this. Jillian Victoria. Frank Bellin is here. What's up, Frank? Amanda Phillips, our Baltimore chapter lead. Carol.
Hey, Frank. Hey, Amanda.
Carol Lewandowski and Courtney Lauderdale Creech is watching. So let's, who would you say the Go method is for?
Everyone.
Well, go ahead, Mary Beth. I want to hear that.
Well, okay. The benefit is for everyone. for who receives the benefit of the GO method. The GO method is for any church that wants to grow its congregation.
Every church will say that they want to grow their congregation. I think the thing is like, it's different. So like, they have to be outside the box thinkers, right? Because you're encouraging your people to go into the world, into places that you probably have been telling them to stay away from for a long time. So you're encouraging them to go to those places and build relationships with people and bring them back.
Mm-hmm. True story.
Do you think like older traditional churches would embrace the GO method?
Personally, I think they might have a hard time embracing it because it does go against the standard beliefs, like the beliefs that I was raised on, that I remember as a Baptist, and nothing against any religion, but as a Baptist, it was very strict. But I think the older churches would have a hard time, but there are younger people coming into the churches that can help and understand and embrace it a little more and understand what it is to encourage different behavior to continue to, you know, I hate to say collect the souls, but to rescue people and bring them into the kingdom and grow their relationship with Jesus.
About you, Nicole, what do you think stops people from doing this, embracing this? Is it tradition? What do you think? Pride?
Well, so I would say there's two parts, right? Like, so one, as a church goes, usually it's the pastor. So people follow their shepherd, rightfully so. And I think a lot of times pastors, they get burnt out. It's like, it's not that they don't want to go. I think they do. They got into this role because their heart was on fire for something. They were willing to give up all other careers to do this. And so what I think is that a lot of them they're either tired, they've been pushed back on, because it's not just the pastors who are leading. A lot of times they have a ministry council or a board of directors or whoever it might be that's helping them, and they get tired of the push. And so I think just as a GO method to come alongside of them and say, hey, listen, let's just remember what it is that Jesus told John at Patmos about remembering your first love and going out. And I think just like allowing them to feel like they have a team behind them who is just reminding them of those things that are so important that are already in there. They're already lit up in most of them. And then just giving them a new version of how to go do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think about the verse, you know, so they leave the 99 to go after the one. I think a lot of times what stops people is they shepherd the flock. You know, they got a group, they got, you know, a church full of people, but they're not really going after the one, you know, and that's not the heart of God. And I just, you know, when I became a Christian, the first 6 years, I'm literally trying to invite my friends to church. I mean, it was very evangelistic, and I was the leader of my group. So I felt a sense of responsibility. And I'm every Friday and Saturday night, I'm staying in because they're all going, you know, doing things I can't do anymore. And I'm trying to invite them to church on Sunday. They're not coming to church on Sunday. And I'm bored out of my mind on Friday and Saturday. And then eventually I backslid anyway, because I just couldn't be alone anymore. So, you know, what I love about this, the whole thing, the GO method, it makes your walking out your faith a lot more fun, you know, like,
yes,
we have the freedom, you know, that Jesus came to give us to go out and just, it's not that we have to hide and be fearful of places, you know, like Horseshoe Casino, the very first event you came to, really, Mary Beth, most, you know, people might frown on something like that. That wasn't a Christian event. It was an event. It was fun. But you came to it, and look what happened because of it. Because like, it doesn't have to be Christian for Jesus to do his work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just look at his work. Okay. Let's just break that down. Jesus was not just hanging out in the synagogue. He was hanging out in all kinds of places with all kinds of people. And I know that like some believers will say, hey, listen, you have to be careful who your friends are and be careful who you surround yourself with. And I am not discounting any of that or saying don't do any of that.
What I'm saying is when you go out this way, when you use this method and you go out with your core group of friends to go intentionally and be the light in the dark, one, you enjoy yourself. You're with your friends, you're doing something really amazing, and you're living on purpose. And it just so happens, you might happen to be a magnet to the people that God puts right in front of you who need to hear a message of love.
It's good. It is easier to stay in the holy huddle. You know, like it's easier to not go sometimes because it's safer, yeah. You know, but I don't think God called us to safety. I think, you know, everything that we sending you out like sheep among wolves, you know, he said some things that sound pretty dangerous and
be as innocent as doves and as shrewd as snakes.
Right. He says like what he said to Cain too. He's like, sin is crouching at your door, but you must master it. Right. So we're not supposed to like hide, not to say we're supposed to be foolish either, but we're not supposed to like hide from sin. Like I think about a monk on the obviously the extreme, they hide from the world because they don't want to sin. No, you got to learn to master sin. That's, you know, and I know I'm stronger because of it, because I've exposed myself to certain environments where I'm like, I had to figure it out. Now initially it wreaked havoc in my life for about 5 years when I tried to do something like this back in 2006, and I just like got all caught up. But you know, not now, it's definitely, I'm in a far different place than I was back then. And if it was because honestly, because of the mistakes, you know, I think that sometimes failure, we look at failure, you know, as being a negative, but sometimes that's the best way to learn is pain, you know? So where do you think,
look at Mary Beth. Look at the way that God has, Mary Beth, let's just look at the way that God has taken your life, the areas, even just in business, that God has given you skill sets and you spent poor time, lots of focus and lots of energy. Like God doesn't waste any of it.
Yeah. Where would you say the church is kind of failing at all this overall? You afraid?
Who are you asking?
Whoever Nicole. Wants to speak. Go ahead, Nicole. You were on ministry for what, 15 years full time?
Yeah, I was. Well, I mean, I can talk about this from two different angles. One, personal. So, I mean, of course, that like tugs at my heart. And then the other is just statistics. So which way do you want to go first?
Do both.
All right. So I would say let's talk numbers first. I mean, if you're listening and you're part of the Christian community, you probably know what Barna is. And it's a Christian statistical group. They've been around for about 20 years and they've got like 20,000 like different surveys that they've done. And I think one of the biggest ones that I like to pay attention to is the church growth. And they break it down into like three different areas that they really like follow over these whole 20 years. And one is Christians who are actually going to church, so practicing believers, and then Christians who say that they are Christians but don't necessarily go to church, and then it is non-believers, so non-Christians, and you could be in any denomination but fall into that non-Christian part. And I know that like 20 years ago, we were at about 45% of the people in the United States were practicing believers, practicing Christians. And that number now, right now, is at 25%. So just in the last 20 years, we have dropped 20%. That is, to me, that is astounding. That is a number we ought to all be paying attention to. And I think that a lot of times we start to think, oh, well, like the Christian church is dying. No, the church is not dying. That is not what that means. I mean, we are still a substantial number. I mean, we're still like 80 million believers or something like that. So this is still a very huge, huge portion of our population and, you know, have a lot of influence on things. But at the same time, we want to look at the why. And I think a lot of people have recently have kind of been listening to some things and they're talking about how COVID had a lot to do with it. But when you look at statistics, that's not true at all. This really, this turn, this shift happened gradually between the year 2000 and 2012. That's when we saw that biggest drop. And so there's something else behind this, not just the lack of, you know, social connection because of a pandemic. So it's something worthy of really listening to and finding out why. And I would say that kind of leads to like my personal why. And as a believer who was in the church, really giving up my life, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of time, a lot of heart, everything I had really, I gave to the church except for the time that I spent with my family. And yet I went through one of the most devastating life transitions. One I did not see coming, one I did not know how to navigate. And I did not feel the church was there for me. I don't think they meant to do that. It wasn't an intentional thing. I think they just didn't know how. And I think one of the things as believers, if we could just somehow have confidence that just compassion and love and care is the how. You don't have to do anything perfect. You don't have to like give people half of your money. You don't have to do those things. Just show love and concern. And I think that that's one of the areas our churches really just need to wake up.
Yeah. I was just thinking about what you said, you know, with the shrinking of churches, and I forget what Chris Lockamy described COVID as. He said there are certain things that, but he basically said COVID was one of those things that like sped up what was already happening dramatically. So like it was already happening, but it just, you know, maybe 10 years within packed in 1 year, whatever was church shrinkage. But I really think what it is losing relevance is the thing. People just don't find it relevant anymore. They're like the need for it. And if we were in a country, a third world country, and everybody was starving to death, easy way for the church to grow would be like, hey, let's feed people, right? Because meet their practical needs. And then they're going to maybe be receptive to, you know, what you have to offer, your message. Well, we live in a country where people are freaking lonely right now. They're lonely than they've ever right. been in their life. Like there's a loneliness epidemic and there's the opioid epidemic because people are disconnected and they're lonely. Why isn't the church meeting that need? That's really what the Go Method does, is like people need community. Like, hey, church is great, but let's do life together. And then let's bring people into those environments. Let's go roller skating on Friday. Let's go volunteer on Saturday. Because people need things to do and they want good people to do them with and people in their corner. And if they don't have those things, they might shoot up or they, you know, get drunk or knock somebody right. up or all those things, right? Like, I mean, I did this for 6 years and it was miserable. I was freaking bored out of my mind for 6 years, white knuckling the crap out of it, just, you know, trying to like not sin, but not filling it with anything because there was really nothing to do. The church just wasn't doing anything, at least the church that I went to.
So it's not that the church isn't relevant. What you're trying to say is that the activities and the way that they are drawing people in is not relevant.
Well, you got to meet people's practical needs. So we're not hungry as Americans, but we are hungry for community. And so like, even if, so what you're saying, like they come to church on Sunday, they get saved. And then what are you going to do for them 6.5 days a week? Cause God forbid they accept Jesus and they have to do what I did. That sucks. Like, no, they got to have things to, you got to do things for them. The older singles at the church, you know, and there's a lot of us, there's really not a whole lot provided, you know, think about right. a church.
That you say that.
Yeah,
because that's one of the statistics that I thought was really strange, is that the older singles are the ones who are attending less and less. It's not the millennials and it's not the Gen X. It's a lot of times it's the elders and the boomers. And so I don't think you're wrong. I think offering a reason for them to want to be around each other.
I think the pastors are married, so they forget what it was like to be single, the struggle, you know, that comes with that. I was going to a church on Saturday nights, as you know, and they changed their Saturday night service to Mondays. I'm like, because you know why? The families, because they got soccer and everything else on the weekends. But again, the singles hung out to dry. Nothing. I was like, I liked my Saturdays at church. It gave me something to do, so I didn't get into trouble. So I think that's really, you know, the singles, the older singles, and I've said it many times, they should be the most effective people in the body of Christ. According to what Paul said, he said, it's better to be single than married because you can be devoted to the Lord's work. So if we have these singles that should be devoted to the Lord's work, why aren't you empowering them to go do something great? That's, and I really believe that's what, not to say the Go method is only for singles, but it works really well for singles.
Well, I think it's twofold. So it's value, right? So the singles, a lot of times don't feel valued because a lot of times the church is really centered around a family feel, a family atmosphere. Like there's stuff for the adults, there's stuff for the kids, the youth, the high schoolers. But also I feel like a lot of times the church doesn't value the singles. And I'm even saying this not in a way to hide it, because I've talked to several pastors. A lot of times the singles groups are a little bit more messy. Like there's a little bit more drama. Sometimes there's a little bit more need. There's a little bit more that they have to like find ways to give and provide. And so there is that feeling of like, wow, if we only have so many resources, where do we put them? Yeah. And so that it creates this value system where they don't feel valued and the church doesn't know how to value them. So maybe just reshifting some thinking. Yeah. On both teams.
What are some of the natural outcomes for a church if they ran the Go method? What do you think?
Maybeth, you want that one?
Well, I'm going to let you expound because you're so much better with words. Me, I just think the outcome is bigger community and growth in the church and just a more lively congregation.
That's it. I was going to say the same things. It's more a higher percentage of your people in small groups. It's a lot more new people attending, first time attendees. It's a lot more people, a much higher percentage of your congregation on leadership. And it's they're in the game. They're all out there fishing. They're all on mission instead of out there hooking up with each other, which is what a lot of singles in church are doing right now because they're bored.
I want to add to that. Can I? Because I feel like the church culture, like culture happens inside of a church, correct? And I think that Mary Beth, when you took your life and you started making these different decisions that really shifted just your own integrity, your own core and who you are, that's just one. Right. And God says, like, leave the 99 and go find the one. And if that's the case, your own personal life took 10 steps and levels up. Right. And that what that does is when all of your people are taking steps up and leveling higher and higher, that culture becomes more and more like a picture of Christ. So, yes, it does all the things that the two of you said, but it also creates an army of people who look more like Jesus.
So good. Yeah. I mean, it really creates a sense of accountability or responsibility. Cause when you're in the game, then you maybe brought somebody to church and then they got saved. And then now you know that you got to kind of like lead them a little bit by example. I don't know how many times City Fam's kept me out of trouble. Plenty of times. Because I just was like,
does keep you out of trouble.
Yeah, 100%. Because I didn't want to let people down. So imagine if you got everybody in your congregation in the game and they're bringing people up behind them, they're going to be better. They're going to grow faster. They're going to be a better, you know, better Christian all the way around. So where would you like to see the Go method go? Like, how far would you like to see it go? What do you have a vision for where it could go, or where do you like? You'd like to see it go?
Me?
Sure.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is endless for me. I mean, I feel like there's not one church that shouldn't pay attention to this. That's how I feel. I feel like it is not limited to country or city. It's not limited to the US. It's not limited to continent size. Small churches, big churches, it doesn't matter. This method applies. It is that simple that easy, that followable, that exciting, that thrilling, that on point, and that right now. That's how I feel.
That's what gets me the most excited about is this isn't as built as important as building one church would be, growing one church. This is a system that every church can grab onto and implement in their congregations. So, all right,
It doesn't take intelligence and it doesn't take money. That's the thing is I think that a lot of times we think that you have to have this big mega church or be at a certain level, or you have to have these educated people or these people with seminary degrees, and just none of that is true. It really is just for whoever, wherever, whenever.
Just want to say hi to a few new people that tuned in. Vanessa Rodriguez, Cassandra Moser, Nicola Greiner. Cassandra's our Lancaster chapter lead. Cindy Spargo, Lisa Trevette. I think I said hi to Ketty Brown already. I'm not sure.
Hey, Lindy, Ketty.
Lindsay and Signa.
Ketty's a Houston girl. She came to her very first City Fam event last weekend.
Amanda Phillips said, I've always felt like as a single attractive woman, I'm looked at as a threat and treated differently. That's interesting. Can you guys talk about that a little bit? You ladies? Have you felt that way?
I think it's hard as a single female. Amanda is a beautiful girl. I will not take any. I can speak from when my younger days. Being a single female approaching a church, if you don't know who the other single females are and like-minded people, it's hard to make the connection. And you have to be very careful on how you make the connection and you don't fit in with the couples. I mean, I'm friends with people that are couples, but I can't say, hey, will you too, husband and wife, go out and do something? So building the community and church with other like-minded, what I call seasoned women that, you know, they are single and we are out to meet Christ-like men. So it is hard to engage in the church if there's not a group that's built for that group that says, you know, single women between the ages of, you know, whatever the age that we pick, that would allow them to form that group that they have like-minded people to go out with and do life together and to approach and, you know, execute the go method and start, you know, sharing time with people. And it's hard for females to go out into a public forum. We have to target females to talk to because you can't really approach a man without the wrong idea coming across.
Yeah.
It's a little challenging. Yeah, you can figure out how to get over it, but it is an opportunity.
Yeah. Have you felt that way before, Nicole?
Yes. And I would say you just have to realize it in a way you are a threat, you know? Not that you would ever cross the line or you would ever take a step in any negative direction. You just have to recognize that it is okay for them to feel like they need to kind of protect that marriage or that relationship or that time or the way that you're spending specific time. I would say the way to combat it is to just be aware that it may very well be a real concern. And then to really, as much as possible, get to know the girls, get to know the wives, because that's when the threat goes away. And one of the things that I remember feeling in my own marriage is just that some girls are threats, some are not. What's the difference?
Yeah.
I don't know that I could even really identify it, but I can say that some felt that way and some didn't. And so if you can just recognize that and then befriend enough to where you're no longer seen that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I know a lot of people that go through divorces definitely feel like they don't have a place, you know, after that. They feel like maybe they're a threat. Maybe, you know, the spouse, someone else is looking at them differently now. And a lot of times feel like they get pushed out. I've heard that story so many times in City Fam. But let's go ahead and just kind of land it and let's tell people what we would like them to do. Maybe they go to a church or interested. Maybe they want to introduce us to a pastor. What would we like them to do? I'm thinking I would like you to tag your pastor in the comments and tell him to go back and watch this. And then if he's interested in having a conversation, you could open a private message with any one of us really and that pastor. Mm-hmm. And we would love to talk to him about how all this works.
Yeah. I would say that if you're sitting here and you're listening to this and you really just have like this burning sensation inside of you where you know somehow you want your life to be lived on purpose, somehow you want to impact the world, but you just don't know how, that this is the moment where you do that. You don't do it by yourself. You do it alongside of the church that you are with. I mean, Jesus loved the church so much he was willing to die for her. He loves his bride, and we love the church that same way. So we want to come alongside and partner not just with your churches, but with you and your churches. So like Rob said, go ahead and tag in the comments your pastor or someone significant at your church that you feel like would take this and pay attention.
Could be the outreach director, could even be the youth pastor. Kind of my vision for the way I'd like to spend my life is I'd like to travel 6 months out of the year. I want to travel to towns. My ideal weekend would go like this. I would go into a church on Friday night. I would say, okay, get all your youth and your singles together Friday night. We're going to do a truth about sex talk. Advertise it in advance. Get as many people there as possible. I'll do it. Get up, do my talk. Say, hey guys, if you want to be in a truth about sex small group, Sally over here and Bob, they're going to be leading the group starting in 2 weeks. Go ahead and pull that sheet out from underneath your chair. Check that you want to be in a small group. Get all those people in small groups. Why? Because if they're going to wait, they're going to need community because they're going to get bored and lonely if not. And those small groups could turn into City Fam chapters, right? After their 8 weeks. Then on Saturday night, the next night, say, hey, we're going to be going over to XYZ Bar and Grill and we're going to do karaoke. Bring all your unchurched friends. It's going to be fun. And then they all come out and we turn up and then everybody goes, wow, this is actually fun. This is rowdy, but this is fun. Getting them outside the building. And then on Sunday come in and we do a talk about go. And we say, hey guys, this is what Jesus said to do. He said, go. He did not tell you to invite people to come. He said, go. By the way, Sally and Bob, they're going to start doing social and service events in the area. Go to them and bring your unchurched friends. And boom, now the whole thing works together. It's like the hand going inside the glove. And that's what we believe.
Right.
We believe, guys, that this is going to be the greatest revival in the history of the world. And we're going to be right at the front of it. We want you to be part of it. So if you want to start a small group, you can DM me about that. Or you actually just drop the word reach in the comments. If you want to know more about City Fam's reach program, if you want to know more about the go method, like maybe you have a pastor to introduce us to, tag them or just open up a Facebook message with me and them. And we would love to jump on a quick call with them. That was good. I enjoyed that. That was fun.
Yeah. We could talk about that all night.
Anybody want to pray us out? Want to pray us out? Nicole?
Sure. I'd love to.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. God. The fact that we are allowed to sit here and talk about these things so openly and so freely, such a gift. We don't want to forget to thank you for that. God, there are so many churches that are out there, so many churches that you love so much. And with our time and our thoughts and our energy, we want to love them the exact same way that you do. So just teach us how. And God, we know that you have built us and created us not to do this on our own, but you have built us and created us to do this together. Your picture of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is just this perfect picture of community. And we can't wait to stand shoulder to shoulder and be the light in the dark, be your voice, your hands, your feet, your eyes and your ears, and especially your words. So God, tonight I just ask that you bless these words and you make fruit come of it. In your incredible name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nicole.
She's a true professional.
You're welcome. Oh, please.
Appreciate y'all coming on, everybody.
True professional. Because my heart needs it so bad. Does that make me a professional? The one who's on my knees right here at this chair every morning.
Until you get to practice.
Saying God bless.
So everyone, don't forget to like, share, follow, and subscribe if you're interested in the Go Method or want to introduce us to your pastor, church leader, or church leader, just send us a DM. We'd love to meet them. All right, that's it for episode 68, Kowalski Analysis. We'll see you on the next episode. Talk to you later.